If you have your Bibles tonight, find, if you would, the second epistle of the Apostle John. Second epistle of the Apostle John. You'll find that all the way back in the back of your New Testament, right before the third epistle of John, right after the first epistle of John. If you get to the little book of Jude, you've gone too far. If you get to the book of Revelation, you've gone too far. If you get to the concordance, you're just plain lost, and you need to reroute yourself with some help from Siri there if you get it. The second epistle of John. I don't know that I have preached from this letter. I'm not sure the last time that I have done that. But the Lord laid the truth of this little letter upon my heart tonight. And I'm coming to preach you a message as your pastor. I'm coming tonight to kind of teach you a little bit. I want to preach this message. And I entitled the message, Good Intentions Demand Godly Insight. Good intentions demand godly insight. One of the joys of pastoring people is to watch people love the Lord and grow in the Lord and to serve the Lord. It's wonderful to watch somebody come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and see their life transformed and the power of the gospel, the glorious gospel of the Lord, to bring them to a purpose and a peace in their life creating them new. And watch the excitement of loving the Lord and serving the Lord grow in their heart. There's nothing better than to see people serve the Lord from their heart. And sometimes there's different levels to that as far as the level of service for people. And sometimes as the pastor, you stand back and you love your people and you never want your people to be taken advantage of. My responsibility is I'm not the chief shepherd, I'm the under shepherd. So my responsibility is I kind of watch for your soul. I'm to know the state of the flock. I'm to provide, to feed the flock and provide some oversight and some direction. And I don't like it when God's people are taken advantage of. And sometimes I watch people have good intentions and follow those intentions and get themselves a little bit in trouble. And sometimes those good intentions follow misconceptions. Some of those misconceptions are, well, they say they're a Christian. Well, my friend, just because somebody says they're a Christian doesn't make them a Christian. Or, well, you know, they quoted a Bible verse, or, man, those people love God, or those people, they seem like they know what they're talking about. And so, if I was to be honest with you, I would tell you that I'm very jealous for you. I'm very jealous for our church that we're not infiltrated or we're not taken advantage of. And sometimes I see this excitement over your good intentions, and I think, okay, I know that you love the Lord, and I know that you want righteousness for these people, and I know you want them to be blessed, but your good intentions are taking you in a very dangerous moment, and you need to apply some godly insight to your good intentions. Let me just ask this question. Have you ever in your life had your good intentions get you in trouble? Amen. 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 Pastor, we're married, all right? Okay, so we understand that. So John here is at the end of his life. The scholars or the Bible professors tell us that this book, this little letter, was written at the end of the first century. And I really do believe that John is jealous over the person or persons that he's written this letter to. And I believe he has an apostle's heart, but I also believe he has a pastor's heart. And he's got this lady. He references her in verse number 1. the elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth. For the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever, grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. Now, the Bible scholars will say, and they vary in their opinion. You have a study Bible there. Your study Bible may go either one of two directions. And they say that the word lady there is either absolutely a lady that John knows. This would be a very godly lady. This would be a lady with an impeccable testimony, an unbelievable heart for God. This is a lady that has been able to see her children follow her in her faith in the Lord. John has run into her children in his travels, and he has found that her children are walking in the truth. And by the way, that's the desire of every parent. Every parent has the desire that their children walk in truth. And so that could be, or the alternative is, he's writing to a church, and he's just referring to the church as the elect lady. I personally tend to believe that this is an individual that John knows, and he's commending her for her heart for the Lord. But in his commendation here, he has some concern about her. He does not want her to be taken advantage of. So in verse number 5, he writes, "And now I beseech thee, I beg thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we," say that word please, "love one another. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it." So John also wrote the epistle of John about love there. And John has encouraged us to love one another, to walk in the love of God, to know the love of God. And so he's got this lady, and she has the gift of hospitality. And the gift of hospitality is very unique in her setting as opposed to our setting. How many of you live in a gated community? All right. How many of you don't open your doors for anyone except your blood kin? Somebody knocks on the door, you're home, but you ain't opening the door. We live in that community. All right. So our lives are not very hospitable in the way that they were. So what would happen here back in this time, as travelers would make their way from city to city, they would go from pretty much church to church. They would go from, as Christians, to one another's Christian's house. And so there would be people like this lady who had the spirit of hospitality, and her home would be open for any traveler that would be coming by. And when that traveler would be coming by, especially a professed brother or sister, she would unfold and she would just lavish upon them a meal, a room, clean clothes, just all that you would need as a traveler. In the course of that traveling, there would be communication, there would be discussion, there would be teaching, there would be fellowship in the Lord, there would be all a Bible study maybe. And so this woman had as her gift, the gift of hospitality, motivated by the love of God, and she wanted to love one another, she wanted to be faithful to the Lord, she had great intentions. But John, being the apostle, being the one that had some understanding here, John had a concern for this woman. And John did not want this woman to be taken advantage of, and he absolutely did not want this woman to be deceived. And he didn't want her to be so goodly intended that she set aside her godly advice. It's that she would set aside her godly insight. And he wanted her to have some wisdom here. So look, if you would, at verse number 7. For many, what's that word? Deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Now, verse number 8, the very first phrase of that, he says, look to yourself. This is a exclamation. This is a warning. This is a shout. Pay attention. Don't lose your mind. Don't lose your understanding. I'm warning you that you need to have some watchfulness here. Look to yourself that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. All right? So John is advising her. Now, lady, you've got good intentions and you love the Lord and you want to serve the Lord and you want to help people. But you need to understand, not everybody is honest. Okay? So as the pastor, I'm careful about that for you. Not everybody that says they're a Christian loves Christ. Not everybody that brings you Christian material is godly material. Not everybody that desires help, desires that help in an honest way. And there are deceivers that come in. Now, if they're talking on an individual level, if the scholars are right, and it's a lady, then he's talking about the kind of the personal relationships, the neighbor, maybe somebody at work, maybe somebody of a different denomination or somebody of a different belief. And you've got some kind of friendship here, and your burden is that they above anything would be saved. And then sometimes we think, well, they're already saved, so I just want to be a blessing to them. And you've got these good intentions, and you sit down and you start talking about spiritual things. And at the beginning, it seems like there's unity there. But then all of a sudden, conversation begins to turn away from the deity of Christ. From the fact that Jesus is come in the flesh. And all of a sudden, you begin to pick up words and you begin to pick up phrases that begin to prick your spidey sense. And then if you're not careful, that conversation begins to change where now they're trying to convert you. Have you ever been, as a Christian, someone tried to convert you to error? Has anybody ever had that experience there? Okay. And so and then here's what happens. Good, decent, God-fearing, God-loving, honest Christian people with good intent get themselves wrapped up in conversations or get themselves wrapped up in directions without godly insight. And then it's not long where you find that confusion can begin to get into the mind of that person. Now, there's some carefulness here. Of course, if you're witnessing Christ to a non-believer, that's one thing. And you reckon them to be a non-believer and you're trying to win them to Christ, they're going to say things that we understand. But if somebody proclaims or professes that they're a Christian, but out of their mouth comes the denial of the deity of Jesus Christ, you better watch out what you're doing. The Bible says, if he's writing to the church, the Bible says, mark them which walk contrary to you and have nothing to do with them. So you can't let your good intentions be luring, that person luring you into some kind of conversion there. You've got to begin to think, okay, now those people said they know the Lord, but boy, they just denied the deity of Christ, and they're trying to get me to go here or do this or believe this, but what they're saying is not registering in my spirit. And but I feel the pressure, Pastor, to be a good example. I feel the pressure to be a godly influence to them. This is where your pastor steps in and says, you need some insight to your intention. You need to be careful. I say that based off of John, what he tells this lady. He says to her in verse number 8, look to yourself now. Look to yourself so that you lose not those things which we have wrought. Now, you can never lose the salvation of God, but you can lose the peace of God. You can lose the direction of the Lord. You can lose the blessing of God. Confusion can get into your mind, and you can miss out on that full reward. Well, Pastor, how do I know the difference? Look, if you would, at verse number 9. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the, say that phrase, doctrine of who? Christ. Hath not, say his name, God. So you cannot be a Christian. You cannot be a believer and deny the doctrine of Christ. Well, what's the doctrine of Christ? Well, the first doctrine of Christ is that he's eternal God. He's the God-man. He's the Son of God. He's the sinless Son of God. He's the propitiation for our sin. He's the sacrifice or the payment of our sin. He's the resurrected Lord. He is the great I am. And so John is worried about this lady, and he's worried about her intentions lacking insight. He's worried about her getting herself under a false pretense of the other person and getting herself entrapped or in some way confused. And he's saying, now listen, if somebody comes to you in the course of a conversation, and they may present themselves to be a Christian, but they do not abide in the doctrine of Christ, they do not have God. Now, you as a believer, you need to use some judgment here. So if this person is presenting to me that they are a Christian, but they're speaking to me against the doctrine of the Lord, then what am I to do, Pastor? Well, here's what I advise you to do. First, I advise you to tell them that's not what the Bible says. Then I would advise you to address them with what the Bible does say. Then, based on that, if they humble themselves and find a landing on the Word of God, that's one thing. But if they begin to defend their way and they begin to move that direction, then I would advise for you to end that relationship. It's dangerous for you. Well, Pastor, eventually I'm going to win them. No, you're not. No. Mm-mm. Because what do you mean by winning them? They don't even have God. Are you going to win them to Christ? They're presenting themselves as not. And so whosoever abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. So you've got to have some insight to your attention, and you just got to look and say, you know what? Those people believe what they believe. They're not going to hear the word of God. I don't think I should very much follow that direction anymore. I think I kind of need to distance myself about that, and I need to go a different direction. By the way, the Bible says, how can two walk together lest they be agreed? Agreed. Now, it's one thing if they're presenting themselves as lost and you're trying to win them to the Lord. But it's another thing if they've got deception or they've got conversion on their mind. And I sometimes see godly people who will meet somebody and they'll be lured by their conversation or lured by their question or lured by their insight. And here's what happens normally. Normally, this person will ask you a question you don't know the answer to. And then what they'll do is they will follow up with something that sounds biblical. Now you're stuck because you don't know the answer and you've got what they've got. And so now we can get a little bit sensitive there. By the way, If somebody ever asks you a question and you don't have the answer for them, you tell them you don't know. But you'll go to the Bible and find the answer. And you find that answer in the Word of God. So here's John. He's got some concern for this woman. Now, watch how far John takes this. Whosoever, verse number 9, transgresses and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ. That means they deny the deity of Jesus. Hath not God. We're not talking about simple issues that we may have some disagreement on. We're talking about the doctrine of Christ here. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your what? House. Neither bid him Godspeed. Now, listen, there's all kinds of disagreements that Christians have. There's disagreements on what Bible to use. There's disagreements on where you should go, what you shouldn't do. There's disagreements on the style of church you should have. There's disagreements on when the rapture is going to happen. There's a lot of disagreements out there. We're not talking about simple disagreements. We're talking about somebody who has engaged you in a conversation, presented themselves to be a Christian, and denied the deity of Christ. You need to step away from that situation. They're dangerous. Run. Get away. Oh, but Pastor, he's so handsome. I'm hoping. Run. Get away. John told that woman, he said, don't bring them into your house. Okay. Now, remember, this is a woman who has the gift of hospitality. This is a woman that loves God with all of her heart. This is a woman, man, that wants her home to be used for the glory of God. This is a woman that would eat the dirt while you ate a meal. This is a woman, man, that wanted people to grow and serve the Lord. This is a kind, gracious woman. And John says, don't even open your door and don't even tell them, have a good day. Now, I don't know how this is going to come out my mouth. I hope it comes out my mouth with the power of God upon it. Christians don't always have to be nice. Okay? Good, Pastor, because all the ones I know, they're mean. All right, well, I understand that. Okay? Sometimes you got something that runs right down here called a backbone. Sometimes you got to just use your backbone a little bit. And sometimes you've got to say, listen, buddy, you're denying the deity of my Savior. I'm not going to stand for that. If that's how you feel, then you and I, we can't continue this relationship. We can't continue this. I love my Jesus more than I love my life. And sometimes you just got to say, hey, we're done here. We're done here. By the way, this is why you would never invite a Jehovah Witness into your house. Well, Pastor, we're going to win them to the Lord. No, you're not. Don't invite them in. This is why if you don't wish them Godspeed. This is why anyone that denies the deity of Christ, you got to have some insight to your intention, man, so that you're biblically right. By the way, verse number 11, John said, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. That's kind of a strong sentence there. Now, why would he say that? He said that because he wants this woman to understand that there is a separation that is there for her involvement. And this woman would never want to offend the Lord. And John says, now listen, if you invite that man in and you wish that man Godspeed, knowing that this man denies the deity of Christ as a deceiver, and you engage him and you somehow find an agreement with him, then really and truthfully, then you've been a partaker of his evil deeds. Now, that this woman here, she'd have never done that in her life. No way. And John was drawing the line there. Once again, so I'm not misquoted. I'm not talking about a certain person that needs the Lord, your neighbor, your coworker, somebody who's professed to be a non-believer, and they're challenging the gospel, they're questioning the gospel, they're doing this. I'm talking about a man, dishonestly motivated deceiver, who denies the deity of Christ, and somehow he's latched on to your good Christian intention. They're trying to convert you. Be careful. If they're chasing you down, running you down, handing you materials, on these materials deny the deity of Christ. John says, use your spiritual backbone now. And I know you have this gift of hospitality, and I know you love people, but that's too dangerous for you. And you need to watch out for yourself and pay attention to what's going on here. And just distance yourself from that kind of direction. Now, if he's writing this to a lady about her relationships, that's fine. If he's writing this to a church, then as a church, we've got to be careful about who we let in and how we approach this kind of thing. I see this all the time. I see God-loving, God-fearing people with good intentions get taken advantage of. I see God-loving, God-fearing people who have met someone who denies the deity of Christ, and they've got some literature or they've got something, and then this good Christian person kind of goes into a study, and in the midst of that study, they're lured away from the Lord. Let me tell you something. The book you better be studying is the Word of God. Somebody gives you a book to read, you lay that book down right beside the Word of God. That book says that Jesus is not the Son of God. My Bible says Jesus is the Son of God. Goodbye, book. Amen. Amen. I'm jealous for you. I'm watching for you. Ladies, don't kill me. But he wrote this to a lady. Why? Because you're more sensitive to being seduced. I'm sorry about that. On a complete human behavior, I know you women don't believe this, but a man does know how to seduce a woman. On a spiritual level, they also know how to seduce that. I'm not saying it can't happen to the men, but usually the women are willing to sacrifice more than the man is willing to sacrifice. And usually a woman has more of a positive outlook and hope that these people can be reached, and they're more burdened. If some man comes up to one of the men and denies the Lord Jesus, we just tell them, hit the road, Jack. No offense, Jack. Hit the road. Well, sometimes ladies can just be a little bit easier here. So let me help you, ladies. You're protected by a system of authority. You should not be helping and conversing with anybody that your husband doesn't know about. You should be working under the authority of your husband, communing together, and then from there. You're protected that way. Other than your husband, you have a pastor. You have the Word of God. And you need to listen. Oh, no, pastor, but you just, they're such nice people. Why would I depart from them? Because they know how to seduce the intentions of Christian people. Happens in this church all the time. Normally when people come into our church, and I'm done now, and I'll close. But when they come into our church, and if they come in a deception way and I meet them, I try to buffer them. I try to run them out. I try to make it very difficult for them to be comfortable here. I'm not talking about an average person that knows the Lord. I'm talking about a deceiver that wants to deny the authority, the deity of Christ, and they want to come in here and convert. But then it'll be a couple of weeks later, and I'll run into one of my ladies in my church, and they'll say, oh, yeah, I'm going to breakfast with so-and-so. No, you're not. No, you're not. No, Pastor, they really need help. No, they don't. No, you don't understand. Our family's having their family. No, you're not. They deny the deity of Christ in a deceptive way. You need to have some insight to your intention. That's your pastor watching out for you. Amen. Amen. I hope you understand my heart here. I'll be open for questions afterwards. Any complaints you see, Malcolm, I'll take the questions. All right, let's have our prayer.